This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabine. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you this morning?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. Let's wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day out there, Naz. It's a special day, and I hope they all get treated well. My 95-year-old mother is still with us, and I'm going to see her in a few hours, and looking forward to that. I want to wish my wife, Rita, happy Mother's Day, my daughter, Andrea, and my daughter-in-law, Emily, and to all the other mothers out there, have a fantastic day. Naz, I remember your mother well. I know she's not with us anymore, but I'm sure you've got some...
Mary Lane, my wife. Happy Mother's Day. Also, my daughter-in-law, Alexandra. Two beautiful grandchildren that I have. And thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. I'm going to go around the horn here. Also joining us this morning, our good friend, former Washington Capitol Toronto Maple Leaf, affectionately known as Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's very funny how weird things happen while we've got our eyes closed and sleeping at night, huh?
I don't know what you're referencing there, Lou, but also I let our listeners know that also joining us this morning from the hockey news, Michael Tracos. Michael, any special mothers you want to give your best to?
Yeah, obviously, my lovely wife, Danielle, and my mom, Sophie, are going out for a nice Mother's Day brunch after this is done. So, beautiful day for Mother's Day. I guess they always save the best ones, for Mother's Day.
Well, how appropriate. Anyways, guys, it's been an interesting week. If we had said last Sunday morning that we'd be coming on this Sunday morning and the Leafs would be ahead 2-1, I think we would have taken that, Naz. I think we would have been happy with that. Not so sure we're too thrilled about the result the other night, but, you're playing the defending Stanley Cup champions. You can't be disappointed that you're up 2-1. And I've got to say, overall, not the reviews on the Leafs this week have been pretty good. Naz?
Yeah, the Leafs played well and deserved to win Friday night, but they didn't. And an important game tonight for sure.
No question. Lou, we'll turn it over to you and then over to you, Michael. Your reaction to the Leafs week?
You know what? I think the last two games have probably been one of the two best hockey games I've seen in a long, long time. It's just the speed and the way they've competed hard against each other and really, a bounce here and a bounce there, and both teams could have gone either way.
Yeah, talking about bounce, unfortunately, Morgan Rielly, of all guys, it's unfortunate the way that, the way Game 3 ended. In overtime, I thought the Leafs were out playing Florida at that point. Had Matthew Nyes on a half breakaway, had Nylander on a half breakaway, and didn't get it, but... overall, Michael, let's get your assessment. 2-1, it's not a bad position to be in. 3-0 would have been better, but that may be asking for much. But your assessment of the Leafs in this Florida series so far, Michael?
Yeah, I think if you had told me that the Leafs are going to be 2-1 up heading into Game 4 at in Florida, I think you'd be happy with that result, especially I think in the first three games, Toronto has been the better team from all facets. So, they're still in the driver's seat. We still haven't seen the best out of Austin Matthews, and I think that gives you optimism going forward.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Austin Matthews. He's getting mixed reviews. In some quarters, his lack of offensive production is setting some bells off with some people. But he is, you know, we can't forget he's playing a 200-foot game these days, and his overall game, you know, is good. And his game is good enough that Paul Maurice had to make some adjustments the other night to get Barkov and Reinhardt away from the Matthews line. So we'd love to see more production out of Auston Matthews. Michael, overall, you know, he's you know, one of the best players in the league, best goal scorer in the league in some quarters, isn't producing, you know, three playoff goals in his 19 last playoff games. Not what we would like to see from Auston Matthews, but you know, he does play both ends of the rink.
No, agreed. But let's not forget, hockey's not golf, guys.
okay.
You know, when you're shooting the puck, you got another guy trying to stop you from shooting that puck. And, you know, if it wasn't bad enough that Matthews is going up against Alexander Barkov for every single time he's on the ice, and Barkov is obviously a Selke Trophy winner, and this year he's a finalist. Well, they've got another Selke finalist on that line in Sam Reinhardt. So, you know, it's kind of rare that you're going to be going up against two guys matching up against you that are both up for the top defensive forward player of the year. That being said, you know, I'm still expecting more to Matthews just because he's a special player in the same way that McDavid's a special player. But again, you know, this is why Florida has made it to two straight finals and why they won last year is that they have a great team up and down, and defensively, there might not be a better team.
My only comment to that, and I don't want to be overly critical of Auston Matthews, but you know the great players figure it out. They figure out a way around it to score. And the McKinnons, you look at some of the stats, Dreisaitl, McKinnon. I don't even have to go back to the old days. They produce in the playoffs. So on a go, you know. If the Leafs are going to go where we want them to go, which is the Stanley Cup, you know, we're going to have to see some goals from Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner. Nez?
William Nylander has played exceptionally well in the playoffs, and he deserves a lot of credit for what the Leafs do up front.
Except for how he looked in that on that shift in overtime when Marchand scored.
The guy is scoring like crazy and 15 points in 10 games.
Yeah, I'll give him all the credit in the world. No question. He's dangerous when he's not. Lou, you want to enter this Auston Matthews debate? I don't want to turn this into a dumping session on Matthews. He has played well in the series. No question. He's been a factor, perhaps not on the score sheet, but let's not take away from what else he's contributing. Lou?
No, you're absolutely right. Sometimes you're adjusting to what other people are doing, and maybe right now they don't need an Auston Matthews, just like Florida doesn't need Barkov. And you're saying that Paul Maurice adjusted his lines to get him away. Maybe Barkov is too worried about keeping Auston Matthews off the board that he's not concentrating on his offensive game, so that's why they're trying to get away from him. And now as to your to Nylander's case right there, it's, you know what, we never knew that he was a great offensive player, but we all know that he's not very good on his defensive end. He looked awful on the winning goal with Brad Marchand. Looked like didn't know what he was going to do, or more or less saving himself just in case
there was going to be a breakout.
I think
he was gassed as well. Let's be fair.
You're probably right.
Let's be fair to the Leafs that were on the ice. They got bottled up in their zone, and they couldn't get it out. And they looked like they were gassed, to be quite frank.
They were. But hey, how about the one that he took right out of the air at the blue line?
Yeah. Anyways,
so, you know what?
You want to criticize Michael? Either one of you guys, you want to criticize Nylander for not, you know, I mean, the guy's an all-world talent. Let's be fair. He's leading the playoffs in scoring.
He's one behind.
You know what? Guy Lafleur wasn't the greatest player in his own zone either. So
I'm not criticizing. I'm just more or less just pointing out a fact that without Nylander, they wouldn't even be here.
Scoring. There's no, you know, they wouldn't.
Right?
Yeah, they wouldn't be where they are without Nylander
for his defensive play.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't see him out there in the last minute of a hockey game.
No, but that's not his role. Michael, I mean,
Nylander.
Yeah, Nylander, you know what? If the Leafs keep going on a run here, and we can keep this going. Knock on wood.
Got a knock on the desk here.
You know, if he keeps it going the way he's going, you know, he's going to get into the Conn Smythe discussion, Michael.
No, 100%. I agree. And, you know, I think Nylander, you know, he's always going to have those faults. I don't think he's ever going to be a perfect player or a guy that's up for the selfie like Mitch Marner is. So you got to live and die with what he brings to the table. But boy, oh boy, guys, like I was looking at his stats, not just for this year's playoffs,
yeah.
But, you know, let's go back even the past like 4, 5, 6 years. And you can complain about Mitch Marner or Matthews or Riley or even Tavares that sometimes they don't bring it in the playoffs. But
Nylander does.
Consistently brings it. Like every year you can pretty much pencil him in for, you know, almost, he's got 5 goals, 7 games, 3 goals, 7 games, 4 goals, 11 games, 6. Now he's got 6 goals, 9 games. Like this guy just brings it from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, that's probably what you want. Like, he's on a line with Tavares and Pacioretty. Those guys can back check for all I'm concerned.
Yeah, no question about Nylander. I was texting with a buddy of mine the other night when it went into overtime. I said, too bad it's not 3-on-3. Yeah, I said, too bad it's not 3-on-3. And if it was, I'd say Nylander. I'd call him sudden death Willie. You know, you're absolutely right, Michael. He does bring it at playoff time. Another guy that we've been talking about on the show for a while, he tends to raise his game at playoff time as well. Naz, who am I talking about?
I think you're talking about Morgan Riley, aren't you?
I think so, yeah. I call this playoff Riley. Seems to be a different guy out there, Naz.
Yeah, he certainly is. And he's been a playoff guy for a long time. Morgan Riley comes through in the playoffs for sure.
So it's certainly unfortunate what happened to him in overtime. Can't blame him for it. These things happen. Bounces are part of the game. Just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Want to turn it over to you, Lou, and then to Michael. Your thoughts on playoff Riley?
You know what? You guys are absolutely right. He has turned up his game every year that I've watched him play in the playoffs. Again, it's unfortunate the happenings of last game, but that's what happens when you put the puck to the net. It's just like the goal that he scored with about, 6-7 minutes left in the game. You put the puck to the net, and good things will happen.
Michael, your last word on Morgan for now.
Yeah, I'll say Morgan Riley has been bringing it from the back end, and honestly, like the Leafs from the back end are finally getting the production that we didn't see in the regular season. It's not just Riley, obviously. He's got the 4 goals, but 8 goals from their defensemen. You know, you compare that to the regular season, and in 82 games, that D only scored 21 goals. So, you know, it was one of the lowest scoring defense units in the NHL. And I think, you know, the reason why the Leafs are having success, and we can talk about Nylander and some of the other core four, but, you know, really if the back end is really starting to produce, and that's, you know, that's what you need in the playoffs.
One of the biggest stories from this week, which is going to have an effect on this series, probably till the end of the series, a controversial hit, guys. You know, the most, hate to use the word loosely, I don't mean it in a literal sense, but in a sporting sense, the most hated man in Leaf Nation right now is Sam Bennett. You know, he took out Stoller as the other night, and I you know, as this series progresses, I think that may become more important in a lot of different ways. You know, obviously Stoller has developed into their number one goalie. What'd you guys think of the hit? I thought, you know, I didn't think it was a dirty hit. I thought it was kind of on the borderline side. I thought it depended whether you were a Toronto Maple Leafs fan or a Florida Panther fan. From an objective point of view, I thought it was sort of sneaky in some ways. It didn't merit discipline from the NHL, but with Bennett's history with the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs, his horse collaring and concussion of Matthew Knies a couple of years ago, I looked at that video quite a few times. I don't think he went out of his way to avoid his elbow crashing into Stolarz's head. Michael, what'd you think of that?
Yeah, it's no secret, and Lou can speak on this. Like, playoff time, you got to make it uncomfortable for the goaltenders. And I think, you know, that's been Florida's MO, is crash the crease, you know, get in the way, you know. And I think in this case, I think Bennett was maybe trying to rattle Stolarz a bit. You know, you see how good he's been, not just against the Panthers, but, you know, in the first round against the Senators. And I don't think he went out of his way to try to injure him. You got to remember, these guys were teammates and Stanley Cup teammates last year in Florida, so there's a history there. I talked to, you know, Jamie McClellan, who's, you know, obviously on TSN and is a former goalie, and asked his opinion about it. And, you know, he said, if it was Barkov, we're not talking about this, but it's Sam Bennett who's got a history. So, you know, we got to do a better job protecting our goalies. And, you know, obviously you can't just run willy-nilly and just take out goaltenders. But I think in this case, you know, a bit of a gray area there. I'm not so sure that Bennett was going out of his way to just try to, you know, injure and potentially harm a guy that he was friends with.
Maybe he didn't go out of his way, but he didn't go out of his way to avoid Stolarz either, Ness.
Sam Bennett,
yeah,
has
that's
not,
a fair point.
Sam Bennett has not been suspended ever by the league.
Interesting.
You can believe that.
I do
suspended.
Find that hard to believe.
He hasn't been
he's
suspended.
He's
due.
Due.
Yeah, he's due
he's
many due. Times over.
You know, Bennett's like, I'll turn it over to you, Lou. Bennett's like Marchand. You hate them when they're on the other team. Man, would you love to have them be playing for your team. Lou, what'd you think of the hit?
You better not say too many things about him, because he might be wearing a Leaf uniform.
No, I said I'd love to see Sam Bennett in a Toronto Maple Leaf uniform. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
And I don't think there was anything wrong with what happened. He went hard to the net. There was no. If you watch that tape, like you said you have,
yeah,
his elbow is right there, and it made contact with his head. He didn't force it forward.
No.
There was no way that he deliberately hit him. It was more or less, it was a play that his body was in the crease, and it made contact.
He was skating through that area of ice.
Yes.
He knew where his, it's like one of those things, you're responsible for what you do with your stick. You're responsible for what you do with your elbow, too. He had it, I will agree with you. There was no overt, but if you look at it, it's sort of the side of Bennett's, as he's skating by, you know, the side of his arm hits Bennett in the head. Now, whether that was intentional or not, only Sam Bennett will know the answer to that question. But he didn't go out of his way to avoid that. And he must have known. He must have known where his body was.
We're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
all night.
Yeah, no, absolutely,
remember,
Lou.
You got to remember the style of player I am.
Yeah, I know.
And you look at a lot of other guys.
Yeah.
That play the game hard.
Yeah.
I would rather have somebody like that.
I am not disagreeing with you.
That doesn't even go in the corners.
No, Lou. Whether you want him on your team or not, it's a different question of whether that was a good hit or an intentional hit. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it wasn't Bennett on the back of his jersey, it would have been nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with that point.
So,
yeah.
It's something that Leafs Nation
as Michael said, if it was Barkov or somebody with perhaps less of a history, we probably wouldn't be talking about it this morning.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but we have a guy who does have a history with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and my look at that was he took liberties with his body skating through that crease. Well, let's just leave it at that. Going back to Stolarz and Wool, guys, Naz, I'll turn it over to you. This is where I think they really, as this series progresses, where they're going to miss, aside from Stolarz being a really good goaltender and stopping pucks, you know, one of the mojos of the Florida Panthers in this series is they want to dump the puck in and beat the crap out of Toronto's defense. And they're starting to establish that type of a game. You know, they're going after Tanev, they're going after Benoit, they really want to punish the hell out of the, and this may have an effect as the series goes on. Let's not kid ourselves, notwithstanding the size. But the one area where Stolarz is different than Wool is Stolarz is really good with the puck and handling the puck. And when that puck gets dumped in, he's really good in passing it and getting it out. Wool's not as good. I think that's going to have an effect as this series goes along. Ness?
Yeah, it could be. But the Leafs aren't intimidated by Florida at all, I don't think. They've handled them pretty well and have dished it out as well as taken it. So I don't see a problem with the Leafs being intimidated in this series. So,
Michael, do you see as this series progresses, the Leaf Leaf defense started wearing down?
100%. And this is what Florida does. You listen to Paul Maurice, it's a war of attrition out there. You know, he's not trying to win the series after one or two or even three games. He wants it to go, you know, by game six or by game seven, you know, that next dump in. You know, Chris Tanev is maybe, you know, rushing a pass or looking over his shoulder more because he's just tired of taking hit after hit after hit. So, you know, whether the Leafs advance or not, like, Florida is taking a pound of flesh off them, and that's what they do. You know, that's how they win cups. It's sort of a blueprint that is, you know, we're going to wear you down. And, you know, like I said, it's a death of a thousand paper cuts. It's like death from a thousand body checks.
Lou, any reaction to as this series progresses, any concerns that the Leafs defense might start wearing down a little bit?
Well, I think if you look at the Leafs game, it's they get the puck in behind the Florida defense and they pound them as much, maybe not as much as Florida is. But, you know, hey, guys, this is not a four game. It's not going to be a four and out. This is going to be a drag out 5, 6, and 7. And if the more that you wear your opposition out, the better you are as the series gets going. So I'm not looking at the series being at four games. I'm looking, what's going to happen at 6 and 7 games? Like, these guys are going to be dead tired because the body is going to get take a beating. And also, like Michael says, you're going to look over your shoulder because every time you get hit, you're not going to make that play that you want to play. You're going to make a play that you don't want to get hit. And obviously, again, me being the type of player, our game plan in Washington was let's wear the defenseman down for game 5, 6, and 7 because we knew that the series was going to go that long. And their defenseman, as the series goes on, the more you dump it in, let's look at the facts here. The Leaf defensemen aren't that quick a foot other than Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, that's
so
what...
It's going to take a big effect on you getting back there and getting the puck when you got a team that's breathing down your neck every single time it's being dumped in.
And that's where I think Stolarz makes a difference. He's one of the best goaltenders in the league in handling the puck and helping his defense out, moving the puck out crisply so that it sort of... it negates that pressure a little bit because the puck's going the other way. I think that may have an effect as the series goes along. The other area, I mean, let's talk about some positives for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Man, the game of Pacioretty and Matthew Nyes and Benoit in this series has been remarkable, Naz.
Yeah, very good, especially Max Pacioretty. I didn't expect that for sure. He's been one of the best players and he's playing on the top line and playing well.
Michael, surprises in this series from the Leafs? I mean, they've overall, I think you can say that they've outplayed, you know, look at the entire overall series in three games. Leafs have been the better team, I think, through all four lines and through all their defense. You know, they're playing a Berube style of game. They don't get flustered. A little bit in period two the other night, but Pacioretty, Nyes, Benoit, you go through the lineup, even Domi at times. So far, it's been a team effort, Michael.
No, 100%. And Pacioretty has just been the story for me during these playoffs. Like, you know, if anyone was watching him trying to get back in practice, like, this guy was every day practicing with the team, not knowing if he was going to play again. So, you know, good on him for not giving up. That's that perseverance that we love to see in hockey. But, you know, if you're going to make one kind of complaint is, you know, the power play is not clicking in the same way that it was clicking against Ottawa. And, you know, even if they had half the power play percentage that they had against the Senators, you know, this thing could easily be 3-0 for the Leafs. So, you know, that's one thing to kind of keep an eye on is as we head into game four tonight, you know, Toronto's getting those opportunities on the power play. The referees are calling penalties, and it's just a matter of, you know, can they capitalize in the same way that they did in round one? And if they could, you know, this thing looks a lot different.
Corey Perry and Mark Stone last night, It happened again with Corey Perry. Michael, what do you think of that hit at center ice?
It's a tough one. You know, whenever I'm on the ice with Corey Perry, I'm probably watching over everything. We just talked about Sam Bennett. There's some players out there, and Lou probably knows this. Maybe Lou was one of these players. If I'm stepping on the ice, Lou's on the other end. I'm 100% aware that Lou's on the ice. I've got a tracking device just watching him. I think that's probably true of a lot of guys in the NHL. So I almost feel like, you know, you got to keep your, you know, I didn't like the hit, but at the same time, you know, let's be aware of there.
The, you know, Lou, some players just play on the edge, right, Lou? That's their game. And if they play on the edge and they force other players to keep their heads up, and if the other players aren't keeping their heads up, they should be, they're effective, right, Lou?
Well, you look at Sam Bennett, you look at Brad Marchand, you know, you got to be noticed every time that they're on the ice. And right now, I would say Corey Perry is one of those players. He's given enough confidence to play on a line with McDavid. And he's fulfilling his role on that hockey team. He knows that he's got to do that for the team to be successful, but also for him to be successful, because he's going to get all the space on the ice that he needs. So, you know, I didn't like the hit, but, you know, we're talking about Sam Bennett. We're talking about Corey Perry.
Yeah, both guys you'd like to have in your own lineup. Anyways, Michael, I know you've got to get on. You've got some family obligations. We don't want to take up any more of your time, and we're just going to say thank you so much for joining us this morning. And as the playoffs go along, we'll stay in touch, and maybe if the Leafs get through or whatever, maybe we can get you in studio one Sunday morning. That'd be awesome.
No, I'd love that. So, yeah, please invite me anytime. I'll come down there, and hopefully you guys can hold back Lou from ever saying anything to him.
Oh, yeah, Lou's ornery in studio, Michael. You have no idea. We'll have to put a straitjacket on him. So, anyways,
hey, Michael, I'll come to one of the games. I'll come up to the box, and you can put a straitjacket on
me. Okay? Anyways, Michael.
No, I'm just joking. Of course.
Yeah, we're it's all in good fun. Michael, thanks so much for joining us, and all the best to you and the special mothers in your life. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy game four.
Michael Tracos. We're going to take it to break. When we come back, we're going to have a really quick session with John Amendola of Mint Inc. And later on in the hour, it's the Canadian Open of Golf coming up next month, early June, and we're going to be talking to the tournament director, Ryan Paul. And when we come back from the break, Naz going to have a trivia question for everybody. Get ready. We'll give out the numbers when we come back. If first person who calls in and answers it correctly gets a $50 Pizzaville gift card. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York style cup and char pepperoni pizza. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni.
You guys will love this New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza so much, it'll bring out your inner New Yorker. Hey, same to you, buddy!
Call Pizzaville at 736-3636.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies.
It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show, from one superfan to another.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on Zoomer Radio, also live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. Naz, you've been working away on those tough trivia questions, so... To our listeners, first one off the hop, first one that Owen answers at these phone numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Naz, what's the trivia question?
Who holds the record for career playoff goals by a Toronto Maple Leaf defenseman?
Who holds the most playoff goals?
Who holds the record for career playoff goals by a Toronto Maple Leaf defenseman?
So basically, which Toronto Maple Leaf defenseman in history has scored the most playoff goals?
Yes.
I think I know the answer to that.
Can I answer that too?
No, you can't answer it, Louis. Okay.
Why not?
No, because you have a conflict of interest, buddy.
And you don't?
No, I don't. I'm not getting the Pizzaville gift card. It's not for me, buddy. It's for our loyal listeners who listen to our show every week, Lou. Okay, it's for our loyal listeners, not for you, buddy. Okay. Okay, my friend. Listen, I want to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend. The I call him the impresario of minting sports cards. It's one of the leading sports cards companies in the world now. They're doing fantastic online presence, outlet in Vaughan that's really, really kicking it. Our good friend John Amendola. Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
I'm going great, guys. How are you?
You sound a bit rough, John. You sound a bit rough. You must have had a late session last night.
I was up late.
Tell our listeners why you're up late on Saturday nights.
No, normally I'm streaming, but last night I was on a podcast, a West Coast podcast, so my time slot started at 11:30 Eastern, and then I get really excited, so it's pretty tough.
I know how excited you get. Anyways, we'll see if we can get your voice going here. We won't keep you long. I know this is an opportunity. It's Mother's Day, and I know how much your mother means to you. So I want to give you the opportunity to publicly acknowledge her.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, we're on our way to Oshawa today to spend the day there, and. Yeah, my mom used to buy me cards when I was young, so she's very in tune with what we're doing today, and she'll tell you that it's something that, you know, we've done our whole life. So big thanks to her for that.
Awesome stuff. John, you did a late-night podcast. I'm sure you're talking about sports cards. Bring us up to speed. The sports cards market, from what there's a huge, huge sports card expo a couple of weeks ago. You've been traveling, attending all kinds of different exhibitions. I mean, this sports card market is still on fire, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's exploding, and it's not going to slow down anytime soon. There's just so much exciting collabs happening with like even non-sports. Like, you know, the entertainment sector is really IPs like Marvel and Disney and Pokemon and Star Wars. It's incredible. The expo was wild. The record attendance again, you know, we're paying the bills.
You know, other than the tariffs, things are fantastic. I got to tell you, the industry internationally is exploding.
Naz?
How is the tariffs affecting you, John?
25% on everything I buy. Struggling, small business, trying to make it, typical Canadian story.
Wow. And I guess you get most of your product comes in from the States. So yeah, you're dealing with all the big boys down there.
Yeah, and they don't care. Like, I mean, the manufacturers and distributors, they're not, you know, for them it's, you know, whatever. You know, you buy the product or you don't buy the product, right? So, yeah, it sucks. It's already tough enough to compete against the Americans. Now, you know, they're selling products for cheaper. Now, same time, the secondary market has exploded and the single market has increased, because if the price of the sealed product goes up, then obviously the price of the single cards inside goes up. So it hasn't been, you know, all bad, but it's been bad. You know, that's right to the bottom line. So we've managed to grind. We're a really, you know, big and flourishing organization. So I haven't had to make any staffing changes or anything like that.
Well, you're certainly bringing it home to us on a personal level here, the effects of what's going on, which we don't, you know, John and I, you and I talk politics off the air. We won't talk politics on the air. We don't have enough time. But I certainly hope our leaders on both sides of the border can get this straightened out. Because,
agreed, yes.
As you mentioned, it does have effect on real people and real, you know, it's chain all the way down. And you know, we wish you all the best in working this out. We got Lou Franceschetti with us this morning. Lou, I know you want to get into this conversation, but before we do so, John, is Lou Franceschetti's, is there is his card going up in value at all, or what's going on with Lou? Leaping Lou.
This guy gets in the news and his card will go up a few bucks.
Okay.
We have to make some headlines, Lou. We can get some market manipulation. Former Toronto Maple Leaf. I don't know what the rest says, but if we can create some hype, we can manipulate the market and get some money from you for you there, Lou.
Yeah, well, you know, my card goes up just like cryptocurrency does, up and down.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting like an altcoin, so it's probably at 000 something.
Yeah. But lose a local legend, so
there's no question about that. In the vintage market, John, you know, the holy grails of card collecting have always been the Mickey Mantle, the Honus Wagner, and on the hockey side, the Gordie Howe, the Wayne Gretzky. On the basketball side, probably, you know, the Jordan. And you know, you would know better than the rest of us. What's are the values of those? Or is there any of that stuff trading? What's going on? Because that stuff's real expensive.
Yeah, the more the space explodes, the more that vintage, you know, rare stuff really explodes. I'll give you a great example. I manage a few larger portfolios, and we picked up a Jordan PSA 10 rookie earlier on in the year, and it was about $220,000. And the last sale just about 2 weeks ago was just over $300,000. You know, US, that's a big one. And then another really exciting one that we added to the client's collection was PSA 10 Larry Bird Magic Johnson rookie, which is, you know, the price of a small house. the value is about $500,000 US. And the Gretzky, you know, the PSA 10 Gretzky's and the Mantle. The most expensive card you hear about is the 52 Mantle, because it's traded, and a PSA 10 will run about 25, 30 million US.
Wow.
There's a Honus Wagner PSA 8 out there that they figure if the gentleman that owns the Diamondbacks has it, and you can find it online. They figure it would hit in the 80 million range. It's essentially, you know, the Mona Lisa of sports cards.
Unbelievable.
So what's happening is the vintage market, as the modern market, really, it's like Lou said, very, 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 very Bitcoin-y, stock market-y. You know, rookies are like penny stocks and veterans are like ETFs. But
But the vintage market is outpacing the S&P, and I don't think there's a market in history that outpaces the S&P.
John, we're gonna thank you for taking this time for us this morning. We're going to move on. We're going to talk some golf with Ryan Paul, the tournament director of the Canadian Open this year at Osprey. John, all I can say is try some tea and lemon, buddy.
Oh, yeah. My voice is like this permanently now. My wife is like, we got to do something. And I don't think, listen, just real quick, I don't think she wants me to do something with my voice because she wants to hear me talk. It's because when I have a good voice, I can make us money. So she wants me back on the air.
Yeah,
anyway,
say
you have a good time. Hopefully I see you on TV again at the Canadian Open.
I'm going to try. I've been on Netflix, I think, two, three years in a row.
I was going to say, I'm looking for you on Netflix. That's great.
Long story. We'll save that one. John, thanks so much. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Have a great day, guys.
John Amendola, all your sports cards need at mintic.com. We do have a winner, Naz. We have a winner. Judy from Etobicoke got the right answer. And the right answer to the question, which was, which Leaf in history has the most career playoff goals? Naz, the right answer was?
Morgan Riley.
Morgan Riley. Who would have thunk it? He beat out Ian Turnbull, from what I understand.
Ian Turnbull and Boris Salmon.
And Boris. So he just set that record this year.
Yep.
Morgan Riley. Anyways, we're going to take it to break. We've got the Canadian Open of Golf coming up at Osprey Valley. It's in early June 5th to 9th, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll check with the tournament director, Ryan Paul, who will be with us right after the break. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza. Start spreading the news. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni. You'll be king of the hill. A number one. Call Pizzaville for the... New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza at 736-3636.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one superfan to another. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on Zoomer Radio, also live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Ryan Paul. Ryan is the tournament director of the RBC Canadian Open coming up at Osprey, TPC Osprey, in a few weeks' time. And we're always thrilled to talk golf on this show. Good morning and welcome, Ryan.
Morning. Thanks for having me on, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Well, thank you so much for that. Ryan, it's coming up June 4th to 9th or June 5th to 9th. I can't remember the exact date. You can straighten us out. It's at TPC Osprey this year. It's exciting. A course I've played a few times. I think it's going to be a fantastic event. We always love chatting golf on our show. Ryan, this is your first year as a tournament director. Last year, I remember at this time, we had Brian Crawford on the show. He's moved on into the hockey world, but you're the new tournament director, but you're not new to being director of tournaments for Golf Canada. You spent quite a bit of time doing the Canadian Women's Open. In fact, that tournament was voted the LPGA Tournament of the Year in 2022 and 2023. So, you know, and congratulations on that accomplishment. It's certainly a significant one, Ryan. Tell us all about the tournament this year. What can the public expect?
Yeah, well, thanks for that. Thanks for that intro too, by the way. But June 4th to 8th at TPC Toronto in Osprey Valley up in Caledon this year. It's going to be awesome, and I think you had mentioned it that you've played the golf course before.
Yep.
I think that's a cool aspect of it is going to a public course where so many people have played. And I think the mind blowing thing for a lot of our fans this year will be seeing one, how far these guys hit their drives.
Yeah.
Compared to how far we hit them.
Exactly.
And then, just the course conditions, you know, the rough that you normally play, it's like almost double
different.
The height and yeah, just seeing what those kind of PGA Tour conditions really are. But a lot of fun. The 14th hole will be our rink hole this year, and more public viewing and seating advantage points than ever before. It's going to be it's going to be an electric venue, that's for sure.
Before I turn it over to Naz and then over to Lou, I know Osprey Valley, they've got three courses up there, and I remember it from the old days. I think it used to be the Hoot and the Toot, but is it going to be a composite course, or is it going to be one of the specific, is it a north course? Which course are they going to be playing?
Yeah, it's going to be the north course.
Okay.
So all 18 holes of the north course will be the championship one, or formerly the Toot, as you mentioned. So yeah, great venue for it. It's really got the ability for us to build all the infrastructure that we need to host the RBC Canadian Open, and then having those that spectator experience as well, where there's, you know, all the greens are great viewing aspects, and yeah, just a wonderful challenge golf for these players.
Where is Osprey Valley exactly?
Osprey Valley is in Caledon, or North Caledon, is Alton, to be more specific, just off of Main Road and Highway 24. Great property. It's you know, you look at it on a map, it's not that far. Tons of amenities, and even from our side, we've got parking lots that are, you know, 5 minutes away. So the spectator experience of getting there and avoiding a lot of that, you know, we'll call it Southern GTA traffic is something that these fans will truly enjoy as well. So really excited to welcome TPC Toronto as our 38th venue that has hosted the RBC Canadian Open, and first time for them, of course.
Also joining us Sunday mornings is Lou Franceschetti. So, Ryan, I'm going to turn over to Lou. Lou?
Sure. Ryan, yes, I've played that course plenty of times last year, and I guess you just answered my question. How's the accessibility for fans to get there? But another question is, do courses usually close until, because I asked to play on that golf course this year, and I guess it's closed down till after the Canadian Open. And what are fans going to be expecting? Because we've always been accustomed to Glen Abbey or other well-known golf courses in Canada. What can we expect out of this one that a lot of people don't know?
Yeah, I think it's if you've been to an RBC Canadian Open in the past few years, you're going to have a lot of the same. We really focus on the spectator experience, one from the rink hole that I mentioned, and really just creating a new vibe and atmosphere to enjoy professional golf, where we've got the rink boards instead of rope lines, and fans are just getting a little bit louder and a little bit more rowdy on that hole, and players have really, really embraced it. Right in the heart of the golf course is our fairway, our fan village, and that's got lots of restaurants and activities to have, from kids and adults really are fans of all ages to, you know, it's more than just watching the golf. It's really a sports entertainment property.
We're talking to Ryan Paul, tournament director of this year's RBC Canadian Open of Golf. Ryan, a little bit on the logistics. Thank you for telling us there's parking nearby and you shuttle in. That's normally the way these opens are done. But if correct me if I'm wrong, but you I believe you also have shuttles coming in from Toronto as well. Do you not?
We do. We have one. Just trying to find different ways to get people to TPC Toronto that, you know, where the location is might not have the same amenities as, you know, when we're at a St. George's and you can take buses and subways to get there. So on the website, bus.com, we're trying one thing new this year for the first time where you can go on there and order a shuttle that are running at specific times of going from Downsview Park all the way up to the golf course and then back. So those who are in the Toronto area can get to Downsview and then get to the tournament without getting behind a wheel, either if they can't or they don't want to. So that's something new we're doing this year, and it's been going pretty well so far.
Yes.
What do you think of the Canadian players playing this year? Are we going to have another winner like Nick Taylor?
Well, I certainly hope so. You had mentioned well, Nick Taylor's win a couple years ago was certainly amazing and did so much for the tournament. In fact, even just changing the logo to having his iconic putter flip now as the eye in RBC Canadian Open is truly crazy. And then having my first year as tournament director for the CPKC Women's Open and Brooke Henderson winning that one in Regina was really special. So when the Canadians play well, the fans get behind them like we've never seen before, and it's great. But these Canadians are playing at peak levels now that at any point they can win a PGA Tour event. And I think the fans are really getting behind that and has that excitement and energy, and to have one win the National Open would be amazing. A lot of great international players too, that'd be great champions. And I think you can look no further on that than Rory McIlroy going for his third RBC Canadian Open title.
Right, Ryan, we also live video stream. I'm proudly wearing my Canadian Open hat this morning from 2006 in Hamilton. I had to look it up. Jim Furyk won that year. And
He did.
So I've got my 2006 Hamilton Canadian Open hat on this morning, and you're talking about Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor just... We like to joke around the show, but he got the benefit of what we call the Nazan Wally bump.
he sure did.
it was an incredible day a couple of years at Oakdale, and you may not know this story, Ryan, but Dan Pino and Mike Massaro will tell you the story. I was actually on the green, took a picture of Adam Hadwin just as he was popping the champagne cork. And I was the next guy that was going to get tackled by that security guard, and I hustled my way out of there. So where Nazan Wally Sports Hour is hoping that we can bring we can give the Nazan Wally bump to one of the Canadian golfers this year as well. A fascinating story, Ryan. Let's talk about some of the field. McIlroy, Lowry, Justin Rose, Thigala, last year's winner McIntyre, Wyndham Clark, Max Homa. So I think the focus probably will be Rory McIlroy as he goes for his third potential Canadian Open championship, which would be historic in a lot of ways. Tell us about the field.
Well, I think you just named them them all right there on top of the Canadians. But even from field strength, in your winners, we have eight of them currently in the field right now with a few more weeks to go. We have 16 of the top 50 ranked players in the world. That's more than we've had the last couple of years. So the tournament is really growing. The field's getting stronger and stronger each year. And I think being back into this slot of the week before the U.S. Open it is really something that players gravitate to, or most of them do, and having that, we'll say, keeping the competitive edge going as you're going into a major and doing back-to-back National Opens. Earlier this year at one of the TGL media scrums, Rory spoke to that and, you know, how well he's played at U.S. Opens the past few years, albeit I'm sure he's looking to get a victory in one of them, but his finishes have been better than, we'll say, prior to 2019 when he was coming to the RBC Canadian Open. So it is benefiting, and certainly having a strong field like that is great for us.
Lou?
Ryan, I've always wondered, where do players stay
obviously Caledon isn't a big populated area. Where will the players actually stay when they're here in town? Are they staying downtown? Are they staying near the airport? Are they renting homes out?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and certainly more interesting in the location that TPC Toronto's at. I think what we found is really a mixed bag of some players staying at all the hotel blocks down in North Brampton and being, I'll say, about 25, 30 minutes from the golf course, but closer to downtown if they want to have that experience. We've seen some more even go a little bit more north and staying in Orangeville and still having access to hotels and the restaurants and kind of all the amenities that Orangeville has to offer. And then within the Caledon area, there are a lot that have been renting homes and kind of staying closer by, especially the ones with larger families and traveling kids.
Ryan, Canadian Open's, it's golf and it's an event. There's entertainment, but you have an entertainment event there as well. On, if I'm not mistaken, is it the Friday night, the Sirius XM series? Tell us all about that.
Yeah, this is the fifth year now that we've done our Sirius XM concert series. So Friday, Saturday night, we'll have concerts following play with all Canadian, all Juno Award winning lineups. Something that we're very proud of is showcasing the Canadian music industry as well. So Billy Talent will play Friday night. Sam Roberts Band will be the following on Saturday night. And I think the cool thing about our tickets with what most golf tournaments will do is your golf ticket will get you access into the concert as well. So it's not a additional ticket to see the concert if you want to do that following play. It's an all-in-one encompassing ticket.
Anyways, Ryan, we're gonna thank you so much for taking the time for us, and our listeners know Naz and I are passionate about golf. We always take the opportunity to talk about golf when we can. I'm thrilled the Canadian Open's back. It's one of the highlights of the year for me. I'll be up there most of the week, doing my thing, enjoying my passion for golf, and can't thank you enough for this, Ryan. But we'll leave it this way. Our listeners, please tell them how they can get tickets.
Yeah, tickets, and even if anyone's still interested in volunteering, we have a few spots left there, but that all can be found at rbccanadianopen.com, and looking forward to seeing everyone and you guys up in a couple of weeks. We'll have a bottle of champagne ready for you to pop again, hopefully.
Oh, I hope so. It was being on that green and taking. I've got one of the best pictures of that entire event, which someday I got to come. I see Adam Hadwin up there, that I got to get him to sign it. I was right there when he popped that champagne cork. So
I was one of the first to grab the security guard off him. So.
Okay, so we were right there.
We were right there.
That particular, I mean, I was there. I was at the Rory press conference too. Got an opportunity to ask Rory a question when the whole world's golf press descended on Oakdale. I think it was the Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, and managed to get myself on Netflix Full Swing two seasons in a row. So we'll see if we can do that again in this year's Ryan, we can't thank you enough, and I'll certainly, when Naz and I are up there, we'll come and introduce ourselves to you, and we'll come and see you.
Awesome, looking forward to it.
Ryan Paul, Tournament Director, Canadian Open, coming up in a couple of weeks. Should be a great event.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm thrilled about it. Thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you.
Lou, Naz, we got a minute and a half left. Okay. Leafs, Panthers. We can't get away from that discussion, can we? Unless you want to talk about last night's ending to Vegas. Edmonton, when Yogi Berra said it ain't over till it's over, man, was he right? Hey, Lou?
That's the comment that I made earlier on, guys, to the introduction.
it ain't over till it's over.
You're absolutely right.
My God. I mean, this has been, unfortunately, we only have about a minute left. This has been a fascinating NHL playoff so far. The amount of records that have been set, the crazy results in these games, teams being down and out and then scoring two goals in a minute and a half. It's been some pretty remarkable theater.
It's the intensity level that's impressive all over the playoffs.
But that's NHL playoff hockey. That's to be expected. Lou, I mean, you must have played a few playoff games in your day. I mean, playoffs are different, aren't they?
They definitely are. And it just goes to show you the type of athlete that, that hockey players are. They can raise their level just to the moment. And I can't remember the which year or how long it's been since the hockey's been this good.
It's been incredible, actually. Yeah, it has been.
The goals that have been scored,
yeah.
not great goals, but just by putting the puck to the net and
no, it's a, yeah, it's a, the skill level of these players nowadays is off the charts. And as we've got 10 seconds left, I'm always going to give you the last word.
Oh, especially today. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Happy Mother's Day, of course. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.